Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And with us again, we have Charlie.
Hello.
She is joining us for all of the episodes this week, and we're going to keep on talking about Paul tripping balls. So yesterday's episode, we ended with the dust cloud as Paul is trying to help the workers get into the ornithopters. This dust cloud just kind of smacking Paul in the face, and Paul can't get his mask up in time. So he is now stuck in a giant dust or a giant cloud of spice, and he's starting to lose his shit a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just to say the least. He's like,
just a little bit.
He's like staggering around.
He's hearing voices.
Yeah. Yeah, those creepy, eerie voices that we heard at the end of the last minute, they continue at the beginning of this one. And we hear a couple of words come out.
Kwisatz Haderach.
And I was wondering if you if any of y'all were able to catch any other words that they said. I wasn't.
I only heard Kwisatz Haderach awakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he hearing exclusively the voice of Mohayim?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Or is it just Reverend Mothers throughout history?
I think it's, well, so we hear multiple voices.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's just Mohayim.
Okay.
It's very similar to like all of the extra latent voices that are there whenever anyone uses the voice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think it's just the history of Reverend Mothers, or
I think you're onto something there,
or maybe not even just Reverend Mothers, but you know, all of his ancestors possibly.
So I alluded to this yesterday, but the scene in the book where he actually does get the massive dose of spice
with the Fremen.
Yeah, with the Fremen. It's in the form of like a piece of bread that is like heavily, heavily spiced.
Yeah.
It's equivalent to like the spice at an Indian restaurant, like for actual Indian people versus like white people. that's the difference here. So he's getting
Sorry.
He's getting the full Fremen spice when he eats this piece of bread.
So it's when Charlie and I go to a Bangladeshi restaurant and she orders for me and fucks me up.
Yeah, got it. Exactly.
I would never.
So he's getting full Fremen spice in when he eats this piece of bread. And when he starts tripping, his internal monologue at the time does mention like him sensing the full race consciousness.
Yeah,
is what the book says. So I think you're on the right track when you say like this might be just be like an amalgamation of voices from past Reverend Mothers.
Sure. Just kind of, you know, thinking forward to part two and everything with, you know, Paul taking the water of life and becoming...
No spoilers. Just kidding. Go ahead.
With Paul taking the water of life and everything and like being able to see the past and see the future and, you know, commune with all other people from the past.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I'm thinking of that idea from and everything. Could be very wrong, and it could just be that, you know, Spice is just fucking with his head. But I think because of Paul's prescience, it goes a little deeper than that.
I think it's the beginning hints of him having access to the memories of, I guess it's both sides of his ancestry.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I think, you know, yesterday we talked about the possibility of, you know, Jessica microdosing Paul, which I think, you know, may have unlocked some of the latent prescient abilities that he had, but this like opened the floodgates, for lack of a better term.
God, he was already annoying before this. Like, he's just going to be so much worse now.
Yeah, dude. He's a fucking teenager that thinks he's the shit now.
But now he's
talk to fucking God.
Becoming God.
Yeah.
So.
It's what every little white boy thinks, but this one might actually be right.
Shit.
All it takes is one.
Next thing you know, he's going to start a podcast.
Oh, jeez. So yeah, we get Paul. He's dropping down to his hands and knees. He's going through it. Then we cut back up to an aerial shot of the worm heading towards the crawler. And this is actually the spot in my notes where I was going to ask the question: does this look like 30 miles an hour to you?
It looks a lot it looks a lot faster than 30 miles an hour to me.
I can't remember where I read this, but the way that the worm was rendered, it was based off of movements of whales. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a sort of similar scale where they're so big, if they're moving at any sort of speed,
they just look like they're fucking zooming.
Yeah. And
I mean, maybe because we know that Shai Hulud can grow up to 400 meters. Right. So like, yeah. I think it's also a perspective thing because it's, you know, top down, the camera is kind of swooping behind, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like a downward swoop to then like look on the horizon kind of thing. So it's a combination of both of those movements together that's maybe making it look a little faster. To your point, though, about it, you know, the movements being influenced by whales, I did have a note in here that it looks like either a giant, you know, whale or a shark or whatever kind of beginning to like surface, because you're seeing the sand kind of shift out of the way, but it's not breached the sand yet.
Yeah.
It's a nice sort of, I guess it's a nice contrast to Caladan, where he comes from, where it's exclusively water and this is just sand, but the sand behaves a lot like ocean water.
Yep.
Especially when you get to see the movements of Shai Hulud. It's like, oh, we're back in the water.
Yes. In a way. Back in the water. But yeah, it's a really cool way of portraying not only the size but the speed and how quickly we're approaching this this spice field here.
Yeah.
We get to cut to Liet Kynes and some workers scuttling some large boxes out of the back of the ornithopters, which, as we know from last week, are the shield generators because they don't need them and they
gotta shed that weight.
Yep, they weigh a good amount. I think we
100 kilos each.
It wasn't 100 kilos each. It was
okay.
Oh no, they are. No, they are because they know. Are because we did. I was thinking in pounds because it's like 220 pounds, which, you know, shed enough generators. That's several men. You know, so, but yeah, shedding. So 100 kilos each. Liet Kynes is just fucking tossing these things, dude. She's fucking jacked.
Adrenaline's a hell of a drug.
It is. Yeah, it's the moment where you hear about, you know, the mom lifting a car off of their kid or whatever.
Yeah.
So
desert power.
Yeah. That is the desert power.
So we see, you know, the workers and everything kind of making their way into the ornithopters, and it looks like they have like knockoff still suits almost. So we talk about in the scene where Paul and Leto and Gurney are having their still suits, you know, checked by Kynes, that Kynes mentions that they're wearing still suits of Fremen make.
Yes.
Are there Chinese flea market knockoff still suits?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
So they go into a little bit more detail about that in the book. Yes, they're not. The still suits that the Fremen makes are not the only ones that exist around.
Yeah.
The Atreides would presumably have their own version of a still suit. The Harkonnens would as well.
I guess we kind of saw the Harkonnen one.
Mm-hmm. I still think the dude in the wall for the Hunter Seeker was wearing a Harkonnen still suit.
Oh, absolutely.
He had to have because he was there for 6 weeks.
Yeah, something like that. But the Fremen ones are the best.
I mean,
of the best of the best.
Where else are you going to process the feces and the urine?
In the thought pad.
Obviously.
The life fluid.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. Maybe they were wearing Atreides still suits.
They're not consistent, though, because you notice that there's some guys that are wearing, like, full, you know, gas masks and everything. And we see one of the workers that only has like the lower respirator, but his eyes are exposed and he has the eyes of Ubad because he's been in a box in the middle of the desert just covered with
spice.
He's
been hot boxing spice.
I think that's supposed to indicate or be further evidence of how House Harkonnen left them in the lurch with equipment, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it could be that.
So our
nothing's consistent.
Yeah. Our theory on that was that the equipment that the Atreides are using is pre-Harkonnen equipment. Because, like, the Harkonnens were only there for 80 years. Mm-hmm. So this is all just the old shit from before.
Right.
Before then. Because there's... I mean, could the Atreides have built new equipment? Yes.
Sure.
But probably not that quickly.
No.
So...
No.
They just had to use what was left over.
Yeah. Yeah. What name did I give?
I don't remember.
It was like, do you remember that passage in the book where they talk about the old spice harvester that people get, like the Harkonnens used to punish people?
Yes.
Like old Maria or something like that.
No. Oh God.
I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but I think it's like they're using equipment of like, of that ilk.
Yeah.
To do this. It's not good stuff. No.
No.
So yeah.
As we heard from last week when we were approaching the crawler and it's just banging noises and creaks and croaks and
yeah,
all other shit.
Yeah, and then Kynes looks out and goes, "It's here."
Yeah, she screams it's here because it's so fucking loud.
She's got to shout over the music.
Yeah.
That's right. Hans Zimmer will not be ignored.
Leto is in the cockpit, kind of lunges back in his seat as he sees Shai-Hulud approaching, which I get it. Like, you were in the sky several hundred feet above before, and the worm was, you know, pretty far out. It doesn't look as big then, but I just love that he's just like, oh.
Yeah,
it just snuck up on him or whatever.
My note here says the look on Leto's face is like, oh fuck, we gotta go.
shit. And then he yells, "Paul."
He doesn't.
He does. If you go back and you read the movie, because we read our movies with subtitles, it says Leto : Paul.
I thought that was Gurney saying
it. I thought it was too the first time. But Leto yells it. We cut to Gurney, who's freaking out, looking through all the people in the ornithopter, and he's not there.
The way I took this scene in was Gurney was approaching from the back of the ship. Mm-hmm. And he was looking around, and he goes, "Paul." And then Leto hears him say that. And then turns around with that super worried look on his face.
I thought so too. And maybe it's something wrong with the subtitles.
Okay.
Which is also a possibility.
It makes more sense for it to be Gurney because...
It does.
Because the Duke is, you know, responsible for everyone else. But I feel like Gurney's responsibility is Paul. Yeah.
I'm going off of what the subtitles on Apple TV was telling me, so...
We'll have to do a review on the field and get back.
You got to put your head in the box and everything and get the big headphones on.
Right.
Start, you know, doing your call, but forget to turn your microphone on. So then you got to do the awkward thing where you reach down and turn your microphone on. And then,
that's right. Regardless, though, Paul didn't make it back to the ship. He's still out there. We figure out very quickly what he's doing and
tripping balls
still just chilling out in the desert next to this empty crawler.
Yep.
At this point.
Yep. He's just on his knees, like directly in front of the treads of the crawler. just kind of sitting there in silence, losing his mind.
The music kind of becomes a little serene right here, or at least serene compared to the fast-paced, tense shit that we've been listening to.
Yeah, no, it's a hard cut to that silence.
Yeah.
The drumming versus just vocalizations.
Yeah. And then Paul is, you know, kind of looks, blinks his eyes real slow, and then he says one of my favorite lines, at least of this like section of the movie. He says, "I recognize your footsteps, old man."
Kind of murmurs it to himself.
Yeah. So let's talk about this for a second.
Let's talk about this because this goes back to one of my other favorite scenes, which is the training scene between Gurney and Paul directly after the herald of the change ceremony.
Oh, but it's so much more than that.
I know it is. Because we talked about it a lot then, but
oh, did we? Did I already spoil this section?
No.
Oh no.
it's also been like for our listeners several months.
That's fair. Okay.
So,
yeah. So this is clearly a callback to the training scene where Gurney scolds him for keeping his back to the door. He's like, "I recognize your footsteps.
Someone may imitate my stride.
Yada, yada, yada." Very cool. Very good callback for the movie. I don't think it's explicitly called out this way in the books, but, later on as Paul is, I think it's when he is riding his first worm, like out in the desert, Stilgar calls it the old man of the desert. He calls the worm the old man of the desert. So that is also, I think, what he was referring to, because he's, you know, hearing the, or he's feeling the worm, you know, approaching. So kind of a double meaning.
Double entendre.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know if that was the right term, but yes, that's it. And no, just a really cool callback, and a referential thing. Because Paul is like tripping balls right now. I took this as kind of a blending of like a beginning of him starting to blend the past, the present, and the future together.
Yeah.
Because you know, that's ultimately what his visions are doing. They're, you know, he's not time jumping, but he's seeing the future. He's seeing the past, and it's all kind of getting runny together.
Yeah.
Who's to say that he's actually referring to Gurney?
Right.
In this particular.
So my one argument that it is referring to Gurney. And once again, this is going back with, you know, really good headphones, watching this, you know, second by second, is that you do hear a very soft thudding of what sounds like footsteps approaching Paul as he's saying, "I recognize your footsteps, old man."
Sure. I don't know. Why can't it be both?
My only argument for that is that's simply just a movie thing, because at this point in the book, or at this point in the movie, they haven't discussed Shai Hulud being the old man of the desert.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. You know.
A little bit of foreshadowing.
Sure.
Yeah. And I don't think, like, if you had only seen the movie, like, this is your, you've never digested anything else in this universe, and you've only seen the movie, having it be he's talking to Gurney and recognizing his footsteps is enough.
Yeah.
It is plenty.
But I think it is a little bit of a, or it could be a little bit of a nod for the book readers.
Oh, sure. 'Cause
they do have a lot of book reader nods in the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get the hardest cut in this movie where you just suddenly, you know, get the jerking motion of Gurney, you know, grabbing Paul's shoulder and like a really, you know, harsh music, you know, cut and everything. And Gurney's just like, "Get up, let's go." And just yanks Paul by the shoulder and pulls him up.
Yep.
As they start fleeing the scene.
Yeah, I think that's where the minute ends. Right about there.
Yep. Our minute ends with Gurney yanking on Paul's shoulder. So.
Right. Any more notes? Anything else we didn't talk about on this one?
No, not really. Not for me.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, I normally keep the book comparisons to the end, but none of this happens in the book, so I don't have any, don't really have much to say about it. So.
Hey. Well,
yeah. Well, I guess like at this point in the book, they're just kind of like making big wide circles in the ornithopter they've already taken off at this point.
Yeah.
And they're just like getting ready to watch the worm do its thing. So
sure.
that's what they're doing.
We still have a little bit to go before we watch Shai Hulud do its thing.
Just a smidge.
But you can come back tomorrow and hear a little bit more about Shai Hulud as it's approaching the crawler. In the meantime, you can also find us on Instagram at the Dune Minute. On Twitter, we are at Dune Minute, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com.
All right, cool. We'll see y'all back here tomorrow on the next episode of the Dune Minute podcast.
See you later.
See ya. Bye.